All right, welcome back to the deep dive. And you truly are going to want to buckle up for this one. Today, we're diving headfirst into a really fascinating and honestly a bit chilling story, sent shockwaves through the financial tech world. We're talking about a meticulously planned digital heist attempt aiming for, well, a staggering $130 million. And the target, one of the plant's most innovative instant payment systems, Brazil's super popular Pix system. So our mission today is, you know, to pull back the curtain on this pretty ambitious cyber attack. It unfolded on August 29, 2025. We're going to unpack exactly how these hackers nearly pulled off one of the largest digital thefts in history. What does it reveal about vulnerabilities in our financial world? It's also interconnected now. And maybe most importantly, what this audacious attempt means for you, for the security of your own digital transactions, wherever you are.
Yeah, what's particularly striking here, I think, is how this incident goes beyond your typical cyber attack. It really spotlights some critical weaknesses, specifically in how we manage third-party access within these, well, complex financial ecosystems, and it carries pretty profound implications for instant payment systems globally. These systems are rapidly becoming central to national financial infrastructure. So look, this isn't just another breach story. It's actually a compelling case study. It shows this ever-escalating cat and mouse game between financial innovation and, well, cybercrime.
Okay, let's unpack this incredible story then, starting with the star of our show, Brazil's Pix system. For those who might not be intimately familiar, Pix isn't just a payment system in Brazil. It really is the payment system now. Launched back in November 2020 by the Central Bank of Brazil, and it just utterly revolutionized how Brazilians handle money. Consumers, businesses, everyone. Think about it. 24/7 instant fund transfers, free for individuals, available via QR codes, phone numbers, email, even tax IDs. It processes millions, literally millions of transactions daily. So it's not just popular, it's absolutely critical. Indispensable, really, to the country's economy. In many ways, it's kind of a global blueprint for how these real-time payment systems can work.
Exactly. And it's precisely that ubiquity, you know, that speed and that sheer volume of transactions that makes Pix, or maybe more accurately, its surrounding ecosystem, such an attractive target, a high-value target for these sophisticated cyber criminal groups. Now, it's crucial to understand, the hackers didn't target Pix itself directly. The core system is built on very robust, very secure foundations. Instead, their sights were set on a company called Sinqia S.A., their Brazilian financial technology company. Sinqia is a major player. They specialize in banking software, IT services, and critically, they act as a key payment processor for the Pix system.
Okay, so if Pix is this incredibly fast, secure highway for money, Sinqia is like a major interchange.
Deal.
Or maybe a big service station that lots of smaller banks use to get onto that highway.
Yeah.
So when we talk about their compromise, it wasn't a direct hit on the central bank's core system, but more like gaining control of a crucial access point. Is that right?
That's a great analogy, yes. You see, many smaller financial institutions, they might not have the resources or maybe the direct technical capability to connect straight into the Pix network. So they rely on third-party service providers like Sinqia to act as their gateway, to manage their transactions, make sure their customers can use Pix. So when the hackers breached Sinqia's environment within Pix, they weren't just hitting one bank. They were potentially gaining a vantage point or access to the control tower, if you like, over multiple institutions, all the ones that rely on Sinqia's infrastructure.
Right. And with that kind of access, the hackers set their sights on executing what could have been, well, one of the largest digital heists ever, aiming for that massive $130 million figure. But how do they actually get in? This is where the story becomes, I think, a critical lesson for the entire financial sector. It highlights a vulnerability we seem to be seeing more and more.
It really brings up an important question, doesn't it? What's often the weakest link, even in the most robust systems?
Mm-hmm.
The investigation into the Sinqia breach revealed that the attackers gained entry not through some direct brute force assault on Sinqia's defenses. No, it was through compromised vendor credentials. They got hold of stolen login information, belonged to an IT vendor. So a third-party service provider that had legitimate access, supposedly, to Sinqia's Pix environment. This wasn't a zero-day exploit, you know, a totally new, unknown vulnerability in the software. It was much more insidious. It exploited trust.
So effectively, they didn't kick down the front door. They found a key, maybe from a key holder, that a trusted third party had left lying around, metaphorically speaking. That's a crucial distinction, isn't it? Because it means their access looked legitimate from the inside. Okay, so once they were in, with what seemed like authorized access, they didn't immediately try to drain individual customer accounts. Instead, they focused on something bigger, more complex, attempting unauthorized business-to-business transactions between two of Sinqia's financial institution clients. Can you explain that a bit more? What makes that kind of target so attractive to these well, sophisticated attackers.
Well, it really speaks to the sophistication of the attackers, as you say. Rather than trying to crack open thousands of individual customer accounts, which often have extra layers of authentication, fraud detection, things like that, they went for the institutional flow, the big pipes. Imagine Sinqia typically processes millions in interbank transfers every day between, say, Bank Alpha and Bank Beta, just as part of their normal services. The attackers, using those stolen credentials, tried to inject fraudulent transactions right into this legitimate, high-volume B2B flow. They were basically trying to divert huge sums of money disguised as normal interbank transfers to accounts they controlled. The target was the wholesale movement of money, not the retail side.
Wow. That's a truly sophisticated approach, really relying on the sheer volume and the speed of the PIX system itself. And the ambition here is just, well, it's mind-boggling. They didn't just target one or two institutions. You mentioned the infrastructure supported 24 different financial institutions across Brazil. This wasn't some small-time operation, was it?
Absolutely not. No way. This signifies, well, it has all the hallmarks of a highly organized cybercriminal group, not just some opportunistic individual hackers messing around. To understand and then exploit the intricate architecture of the PIX system and Sinqia's specific role within it, and then to target 24 different institutions simultaneously, that demands significant technical expertise. It demands extensive reconnaissance beforehand, planning, and substantial resources. That $130 million target, it likely wasn't an arbitrary number. It probably reflected their deep knowledge of the system's capacity, its potential vulnerabilities. This wasn't a smash and grab. It was a meticulously planned operation designed to leverage their access to maximize their potential returns from a successful breach.
Okay, so they were in, they were attempting these massive fraudulent transfers. What happened next? This is where Sinqia's response comes in. Apparently swift, well executed, and it ultimately presented a total catastrophe.
Indeed. What's crucial here is that upon detecting the suspicious activity and detection itself is often a massive challenge, Sinqia immediately implemented its incident response protocol. And this proved absolutely vital in limiting the damage. They didn't hesitate. They promptly halted all transaction processing within their PIX environment. Effectively, they hit the brakes, put a pause on the entire system they managed for those institutions. Simultaneously, they brought in external cybersecurity forensics specialists to thoroughly investigate the breach. That rapid, decisive action and the ability to essentially hit the brakes on the system like that is what most likely prevented the full execution of the $130 million heist.
That rapid response is key, definitely. But it makes me wonder, does the very nature of instant payment systems, you know, with their 24/7 high volume transactions, does that inherently make them more vulnerable to these kinds of rapid, large scale attacks compared to the older, slower systems? It's like a fast train, right? Once it derails, the damage is amplified, isn't it?
That's a very insightful point. Yes. The speed and efficiency that make these instant payment systems so valuable also present a unique security challenge, a big one. In traditional systems, you might have batch processing, maybe overnight clearings, manual review steps, all offering more opportunities to detect and stop fraud before it's finalized. With PIX, or similar systems like FedNow in the US or UPI in India, transactions are settled in real time, often irreversibly. This means the window for detection, for intervention, it's incredibly narrow. Just seconds sometimes. It forces an evolution in defense. You can't just rely on perimeter security anymore. You need deep, continuous, real-time behavioral monitoring, looking for anomalies even from what looks like trusted accounts. And a rapid, well-rehearsed incident response becomes paramount because the consequences of a slow one are just so much greater.
Okay, so they didn't get all $130 million, thankfully.
Yeah.
But some portion was successful, right? The company did confirm that.
That's correct, yes. While the rapid response significantly limited the overall impact, prevented that worst-case scenario, Sinqia has confirmed that a portion of the attempted $130 million theft was successful. Recovery efforts are ongoing. They're actively working to try and reclaim the stolen funds. Though the exact amount recovered, well, it remains undisclosed at this point. This highlights that even with a strong, immediate incident response, the risk of some loss is always there in these sophisticated attacks, and the true cost. It often includes the massive time and resources spent on recovery and remediation afterwards.
Right. And what about the regulatory side of things? This kind of incident targeting such a central system like PIX must have had some serious implications there.
Oh, absolutely. The Central Bank of Brazil took swift and decisive action, sent a very clear message about, the importance of maintaining the integrity, the security of the national payment infrastructure. As a precautionary measure, they temporarily revoked Sincrea's access to the PIX system. Now, that's a highly serious step. It really underscores the trust placed in these payment processors. Sincrea is now working diligently, obviously, to restore its operational status. That involves providing comprehensive details about what happened, demonstrating the remediation efforts they've taken, and implementing additional security assurances required by the banking authorities. It's not just about fixing the technical bug, it's really about rebuilding confidence.
That temporary suspension must have had ripple effects. Financially, reputationally, Sequoia's parent company, Evertec, their major transaction processor for Latin America, Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, they actually disclosed this incident in an SEC filing in the U.S. They acknowledge that both the financial and reputational fallout from the breach remain uncertain and could prove significant. So this isn't just a Brazilian story. Global markets are watching.
That's absolutely right. The ripple effects are considerable. Beyond the direct financial loss, the operational disruption, there's that long-term impact on trust and reputation. Those are invaluable assets in the financial sector. What this incident also brings into sharper focus, and this is an important clarification, is that some local media reports initially suggested HSBC was among the affected institutions. However, a bank spokesperson quickly confirmed that their customer funds and data remained secure throughout the incident. And that distinction is vital. It underscores the importance of differentiating between an attack on shared infrastructure, like Sinqia, and a direct compromise of individual customer accounts at a specific bank. Robust internal protocols at institutions like HSBC can act as a crucial final line of defense, even when one of their vendors is compromised.
That's a really critical clarification. It highlights that layered security is essential, right? It means even when a system like Sinqia's is targeted, strong protocols at the individual banks it serves can protect their users. For the broader financial sector, this attack really exemplifies the evolving tactics of cybercriminals. Using stolen vendor credentials isn't new, as you said, but it represents this growing trend, exploiting trusted third-party relationships as maybe the path of least resistance. They're actively finding the weakest links, even in what might otherwise seem like secure systems.
Precisely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the entire supply chain of digital services is under scrutiny now. This isn't just a fintech problem, it's a systemic vulnerability. It affects everyone. The sophistication required to navigate and exploit the PIX infrastructure, like we discussed, it strongly suggests this was the work of an organized cybercriminal group, highly capable. Which raises an important question for everyone listening. What specific actionable lessons can the financial technology sector, and really any organization relying on third-party vendors, learn from this?
Well, yeah, the Sinqia breach offers several critical insights, doesn't it, for fintech companies, payment processors worldwide. And for our listeners deep in the fintech space, they're probably already thinking about things like SOC2 compliance for their vendors, but is that enough anymore? This incident really hammers home that even well-established security protocols can be circumvented through vendor credential compromise. So beyond basic compliance, what's the next level? What does enhanced third-party security management actually look like?
That's an excellent point. Compliance frameworks like SOC2, they're foundational, absolutely. But they often represent a baseline, a minimum standard. This incident illustrates that organizations have to move beyond just a checkbox mentality. They need to implement truly comprehensive, active vendor risk management programs. What does that mean? Well, it means not just assessing vendors once a year during onboarding. It means implementing mandatory multi-factor authentication, MFA, for all third-party access, no exceptions. It means regular credential rotation. Least privilege access, meaning vendors only get access to the absolute minimum resources they need to do their job, nothing more. And crucially, continuous real-time monitoring of third-party access points. Looking for any anomalous behavior, anything unusual, we're really moving towards what's called a zero-trust architecture, where you basically assume compromise will happen eventually, and you design your systems to limit the blast radius when it does.
I can imagine the challenges there, especially for big organizations with hundreds, maybe thousands of vendors. It's complex. But it also suggests that financial institutions themselves should be thinking about extra layers of verification, maybe for high-value transactions, especially those processed through automated systems. Because if attackers have legitimate credentials, even stolen ones, they might bypass standard checks.
Absolutely. This makes advanced behavioral analytics and AI-powered threat detection even more crucial. You need systems that can spot anomalies. A system might see a technically legitimate user initiating, say, a $50 million transfer, but AI can flag it. Why? Because maybe that user has never initiated a transfer that large before. or never to that destination, or never at 3 a.m. on a Sunday. It's all about detecting deviations from normal patterns, even if the credentials themselves appear valid on the surface. Furthermore, this incident will inevitably prompt enhanced regulatory scrutiny of payment processors. No doubt about it. It could lead to stricter, more prescriptive security requirements for companies operating within critical financial infrastructure. Organizations should definitely prepare for potential regulatory changes, increased compliance obligations in response to this and similar incidents. The central bank's temporary suspension of Sequoia's PIX access, that sends a very, very clear message about the high consequences of security failures.
Wow. Okay, what a journey through the intricacies of digital finance and cybersecurity today. From the sheer ambition of a $130 million heist attempt to the critical role of quick response and this deep reliance we have on third-party security, this deep dive really underscores the constant evolving vigilance needed in our digital world. It never stops.
Indeed. What this deep dive really underscores, I think, is that the path to truly secure instant payment systems isn't just about patching vulnerabilities as they pop up. It's about fundamentally rethinking how trust is managed across an entire ecosystem, a whole paradigm shift, maybe. It's about proactive defense, designing systems with the assumption, the expectation that compromise will happen, and then limiting the blast radius through things like micro-segmentation, advanced behavioral analytics, as we discussed, the continuous investment in advanced security technologies, and robust, well-practiced incident response protocols. That's what will define the future of financial safety.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe consider this provocative thought. In an era where instant payment systems aren't just convenient anymore, but are actually becoming the undisputed backbone of our economies, facilitating millions, billions of transactions daily, what responsibility do we have as users, as consumers, maybe as advocates for secure systems? What responsibility do we have in pushing for even stronger, more resilient digital financial infrastructure? Are we comfortable enough with the pace of innovation? Or should we perhaps be demanding an even higher standard of security as our lives become increasingly digital? How do we make sure the incredible convenience of systems like PIXX doesn't come at the cost of our collective security? That's definitely a thought to chew on as you go about your day. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you feel a little more informed, maybe a little more aware, and perhaps even a little more curious about the hidden layers that secure or sometimes threaten our financial world. Until next time.